Of your Bibles today, turn with me to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Amen. Mark chapter 4, we begin at verse 3. Jesus said, this is of course a familiar parable here. He said, listen, behold, a sower, I'm in the New King James, but a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no crop or no fruit. But the other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced. Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. Verse 14, the sower sows the word. Verse 15, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. This, of course, is Jesus now explaining the parable. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Amen. I want to preach to us for a few moments this morning from this subject, conditions of the soil. Amen. Put your Bibles down and clap your hands to God one more time and give Him thanks and praise. God, we love You. We love You, Lord. We love You, Lord. We love You, Lord. We love You, Lord. We love You, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. You may be seated. This parable in Mark 4, also recorded by Matthew in chapter 13 of his gospel and by Luke in chapter 8 of his gospel, is one of the most important parables that Jesus taught that we have the privilege to read in Scripture. Because even though there are so many lessons and nuggets of truth found here, there are only two subjects, the seed and the ground, or more correctly, the word and the heart. The word doesn't change. The word is that powerful, unchanging, forever settled Word of God that has endured for millennia. The same Word has been sown and has fallen upon hundreds of millions or even billions of hearts over the last few thousand years. And those hearts, every one of them, including yours and mine, are basically one of these four types of soil. The problem is not the seed, it's the soil. The problem is never the word, it's the heart of the hearer. There is nothing wrong with the Word. People change, but it never changes. People try to change it, but it remains the same. Its doctrines do not change. Its promises do not change. It is not a textbook to be revised and rewritten or to be proven false by time. It is not a human document that can be amended by men. It is the inspired, infallible, immutable, providentially preserved Word of the living God. John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word." David said, "Forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven." Paul said, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God." Whether galaxies or grass, mountains or men, fish or fowl, rivers or rocks, the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear or things which are visible. In other words, one thing didn't just come out of another. The Word created it. And everybody said amen. And that same Word from which the worlds came and by which are being held in their position until the day of judgment, that Word, God's spoken Word, was given to men chosen of God to become God's written Word. And Jesus called it seed. And it is and has been sown time and time again to generations of people whose hearts Jesus called the soil. Every heart on which the seed of the Word is sown is automatically obligated to respond. Throughout history, people have rejected God's Word either in its entirety or in part, because people want the promises but not the narrow path. They want heaven but not holiness. They want salvation but not separation from sin in the world. But just as soil must accept or reject seed, so must the heart accept or reject the Word. Now, that doesn't mean that it's that cut and dry, hence the different types of soil, but it can be and sometimes is rejected at once. And that is the soil that Jesus called the wayside. It is the condition of the heart in which Satan is allowed to immediately snatch the Word from you as soon as you hear it. Wayside. As soon as the Word reaches your mind and heart, that if your soil, if your heart is wayside, you immediately allow Satan to take it because you reject it. The Word doesn't have time to even sink in. It's just gone. The person with that heart, that soil, have given way to Satan for so long that the powerful Word of God is rendered ineffective as soon as they hear it. It is outright rejected because of a heart of unbelief. Therefore, there is no conviction. There is no repentance. It's a rejection of the Word and consequently a rejection of salvation. The second soil type or condition of the heart is what Jesus called stony ground. The condition of the heart accepts the Word at first. Jesus said, "These are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the Word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation Persecution, affliction arises for the word's sake. Immediately they stumble. This stony ground isn't soil that is full of rocks, but rather it has a bed of rock underneath the soil. It can't be felt by the plow, but it's there. From the eye, it looks like good soil. And consequently, when the roots go down, they can only go so far. They get a little bit of nourishment, a little bit of water, and the plant springs up because the life goes upward, but the roots can't go down. They can't get into the soil to get the water, and so it withers and dies. The stony soil represents those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. They're the opposite of the wayside people. They are receptive. They are interested. Not only are they interested, but they are emotional about it, excited about it, receive it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, Jesus said, and that's an important statement. There are people who believe for a while, but in time of temptation, fall away. They have good intentions. They want to live for God, at least in the moment. But Jesus said the problem with this soil is that the seed can't take root. And the Word of God can only go so far. It reaches down, but then it hits a stone layer that hasn't been broken up. Amen. It'll go a few inches and it tries to spread. It tries to go further, but it continues to hit that stony layer and it can't go any further. With this condition of the heart, spiritual growth is superficial. Because there are things in the heart that we don't want to deal with. There are things we don't want to change. And so the word cannot penetrate beyond that barrier in our heart. And Jesus said that because the word can't take root in them, they endure only for a while. But then after a short time, when those troubles, those trials, those afflictions arise, they are immediately offended. There are various reasons for people coming to God. Oftentimes, these are external reasons. Broken relationship, marriage problems, family problems, financial problems, social issues, emotional issues, work-related issues, sickness, or some other need for a miracle. And we come to God because of it. And we want Him to fix it. And to be fair, if that is what initially brings you to God, to seek God, that's fine, whatever it takes. But do not let that external circumstance and your desire to have God fix it be the thing that keeps you coming to Him. Because that alone cannot and will not sustain you. Amen. Jeremiah 29 says, the Lord said, seek me with all your heart and you will find me. Amen. Or rather, seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. But when we come to Him, when we decide, I've got these problems in my life, I've got these issues in my life, so I better find God. I better seek God so that He can fix these things for me. And that's the only reason you come to Him. You cannot keep it that way. You cannot stay. You cannot remain that way, because coming to God to have these external circumstances fixed will not sustain you in time of trouble. But for many of us, that's the condition of the heart that Jesus is speaking of. We come to God with these external things, needing God to fix these things. And we hear the word and we accept it and receive it because it's just what we needed. We hear the word about faith. That's just what I needed. We hear the word about miracles. That's what I'm looking for. We hear the word about believing and about how God can do anything. And that's exactly what we were wanting to hear. And we say, yes, this is what I need. I need to take care. I need God to take care of some things in my life. And so we receive it and we accept it. But after a little while, that seed, that word tries to go deeper, but it hits a barrier. It hits that stony layer because that's not what we had in mind. We came to have God fix eternal things, not to change internal things. And so essentially this condition of the heart, this condition of soil says, wait, Lord, I don't really want a lot of change in me. I just want change around me. I don't want my heart turned inside out and my life turned upside down. I was just looking for help. I wasn't looking to become holy. I wanted satisfaction in my world, not separation from the world. I wasn't really looking for complete surrender and submission to your will and your word. I wasn't looking to become a fanatic. I just wanted things fixed. Wasn't really looking to become committed to something. I wasn't looking to have to learn to pray and fast and be faithful. I just came so that you would fix things in my life. And so Jesus said, when we come with that kind of soil, after a little while, when more external problems arise in your life, you will be offended. Because we have this barrier in our heart that says, this is as deep as the word can go and no more. Right? This is as deep as the word can go in my life and no more. Because I don't want that kind of change. Amen. We want the excitement and the anticipation of God doing something for us, but we're not looking for radical change from the inside out. I've got Bible for that. John chapter 6, we read the miracle of the loaves and fish. In verse 10, there are 5,000 men. Jesus said, we've got to give them something to eat. A lad offered his 5 loaves and 2 fish, and Jesus prayed and began to break and multiply this bread and fish, and his disciples began to hand it out. All 5,000 men ate. If this is only men, then you can double or triple that with women and children. And there were 12 baskets left over. Everyone was excited. Right? Because God fixed it. Everyone was thrilled. And the people said, this is truly that prophet that should come into the world. Amen. Because of the miracle, because he has fixed their external circumstance, this is he. Hey, buddy, this is that prophet. This is that Messiah. But the next morning, when that multitude of people tracked him down, no doubt expecting more miracles and more multiplication of bread and fish, Jesus instead gives them a sermon on how he is the bread of life come down from heaven and how they need him more than miracles. But when his word tried to go deeper to penetrate their hearts, to try to cause them to hunger for spiritual things rather than external things, they complained and said, this is just the son of Mary and Joseph. We know who this guy is. Come on, let's go. He's not who we thought he was. This is not what we were looking for. Amen. As long as he was fixing their external issue, he was the goat. Amen. The greatest of all time. But as soon as he talked about paying the price to go deeper, they walked away offended. If you're fixated on him fixing your externals, you may be disappointed. Because the Lord is more concerned about your heart than he is your happiness. His greatest concern is your eternity. And when his word can't penetrate that barrier in your heart to bring necessary change and conviction, that is his deepest concern. Amen. We want him to fix everything around us, and he is able, but he wants to fix everything within us. And that is eternally more important. And so we ought to open up our hearts and say to him, oh God, break up the stony ground. Remove the hardened parts of my heart that have not allowed your word to penetrate. Let your word be sown in me again and again, and let it take root. Let your word be preached to me again, and let it stir my heart and soul. Yes, I want you to fix these things in my life, but more than anything, change me from the inside out. Amen. The third type of soil that Jesus described was the soil with thorns. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no fruit. The seed took root. It penetrated the soil and began to grow. But it wasn't the only thing growing. Jesus said, With the condition of heart. They hear the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. This heart hears the word, and it begins to take root and grow, but then distractions come. Cares of life. Deceitfulness of money, which means that money brings options and options bring distractions. And then simply the desires for other things. Things other than the things of God. And Jesus said, these things come in and choke the word. That means it overwhelms the word in our heart. Because the word is not taller. It's not deeper. It's not wider. It's right alongside of these things. Cares of the world, deceitfulness of money, lust of other things. It's all together. You can't even tell it apart. And Jesus said they end up overwhelming the word in our heart. They push the word aside. They push the word down. He said that we allow the cares of life to overwhelm the word in our hearts, and it renders it ineffective in us. But Jesus warns that it is this enemy within and around us, this word cares. It's derived from the root word meaning to be drawn in a different direction, to be distracted. And so Jesus called them thorns, and they flourish in our lives, and they tend to occupy our hearts and our heads and our hands. And they possess the power, according to Jesus Himself, to make this word of no effect in our life. Like the stony ground, this is something we allow to happen. It's not a surprise. It's not an attack. It's not something we couldn't see coming. It's something we allow to grow alongside the Word in our lives. And before you know it, it's overwhelming the Word. And because of these cares of the world, money, deceitfulness of money, and desire for other things, there's no time for God. There's no time for the Word. There's no time for worship. There's no time for prayer. And Jesus said these things choke the Word and it becomes unfruitful. When the Word becomes unfruitful, it means that it's not doing anything. It's not producing anything. It's not moving us. It's not changing us. It's not convicting us. It's not helping us. It's not guiding us. It's not doing any or all of the things that the Word does when it becomes unfruitful. It means it's unproductive in our lives because of the cares of the world, because of the deceitfulness of riches, and because of the lust for other things. Amen. It's just not doing anything. When these things overwhelm the Word in our lives and distract us in all kinds of directions and going here and going there and doing this, it's too busy for God, too busy for His Word, too busy for worship. Jesus said the Word has been choked in our lives. Amen. It is easy to get distracted by these things. But Jesus tells us that it's really more than just distractions when it renders His Word ineffective in our life. That is a frightening thought. A frightening thought indeed, that something that seems so mundane can be so diabolical. But let's heed the Word of our Savior and ask Him to till the soil of our hearts and rip those thorns by the roots. Amen. So that when you are tempted to neglect the Word because of these things, or you are tempted to neglect prayer because of these things, or you are tempted to neglect the house of God because of the cares of this world, that you can say no. My heart is going to be good ground. Amen. I will not allow these distractions. I will not allow these things to overwhelm the Word of God in my life. I will seek the Lord with my whole heart. I will seek the Lord with everything in me. I will love Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because He's coming soon. Amen. And I want to be a part of that harvest. Amen. And so next time you're tempted to say, hey, let's not go to worship today. Let's go to the beach. Let's grill today. Let's do something different today. Let's just do something different. Remember the warning of Jesus in this parable of the sower, the seed, and the soil. In His parable, which type of soil gets the Lord's approval? Or better yet, who are the only ones saved? The good ground, of course. The ones who produce fruit. The good ground is ready for the seed. It wants to be stirred. It wants to be plowed. It wants to receive the Word. Give it to me, God. Let it go deep. Give me revelation. Show me things I've never seen before. Open up things, God, to me that I've never understood before. Let it go deep, God. Let it give me convictions that I've never had before. In Jesus' name, that's good ground. Give me the Word, God. Give me the Word. Give me the Word. Give me truth. Give me doctrine. Give me revelation and understanding. Amen. The good ground is ready for a harvest. The good ground says, bring it, God, bring it. Amen. The good ground says, God, we need to see people saved. Use me. Let me be a sower. Let me spread the word. Let me be part of this harvest, God, that you want to give, that you want to reap in these last days. Oh, hallelujah. Now is the time to break up the stony ground. Now is the time to pull up thorns. To prepare our hearts to receive and believe for a harvest. Amen. Let's stand. Now is the time. Now is the time. It doesn't matter what has happened in the past up until this moment. Now is the time. It doesn't matter if you've had that layer of stone underneath that shallow soil for so long. It doesn't matter. Today it can come up. Amen. Doesn't matter if there's been thorns that have choked the word in your life, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of all these other things, the desires for all these other things. It doesn't matter if all of that has choked the word in your life up until this very moment. It can change right here, right now. Amen. Now is the time to break up stony ground. Now is the time to pluck up the roots of thorns. Amen. Amen. Because it's harvest time. It's time to see revival. It's time to see people saved. And I believe that that's where the Lord has taken us. Amen. I believe that's what God wants to do in this church and in this city, in this community. Amen. Amen. And so no matter who you are, no matter what has happened, no matter where you've been spiritually speaking or physically for that matter, today's the day. Let's just let God break up stony ground. Let Him pull up the roots of thorns. Let's let Him plow our hearts and prepare us for what He wants for each and every one of us individually and all of us collectively. Amen. Over the next few days, the next couple of weeks, we'll have the opportunity to see great things happen. We will have the opportunity to see God move and pour out His Spirit if we're ready, if we want it, if we desire it. Amen. But let's let God change our hearts today. Let's let God do what He wants to do in each of us today. Our prayer today should be, God, I've been distracted. I've been drawn in different ways by all of these cares of the world, by all of these different things. And yes, I've had a stony layer in my heart that I've not allowed the Word to penetrate, because I really didn't want the Word to go that deep. I really didn't want that kind of change. But today, God, I'm asking you to do something that's eternally changing in my life. Today, God, I'm asking you to do some things in my heart that will change me forever, that will affect my eternity in Jesus' name. Because above all else, we must be saved. Amen. I've got to go to heaven. I've got to be full of the Holy Ghost. I've got to walk in the Spirit. I've got to walk with Him. Amen. I've got to obey the Word. I can't afford to be distracted. I can't afford to have stony ground where the Word just lasts for a little while and then it's gone, withers. And then when tribulation or persecution or trials come, when situations come, I stumble. I can't afford that. You cannot afford that. Amen. But let's let God work in this place, in this very moment. Let's let God work in our hearts, in our minds. Amen. Let's let God work. Let's let God do things He's wanted to do for years. Let's let God do things He's desired to do in you for years now. But for whatever reason, He's not been allowed to. Let's open our hearts and say, it's all yours. I'm all yours. Every area of my heart. No more stony ground, God. Dig it up. Use a shovel. Use a pickaxe. Whatever you got to do. Dig it up. Get rid of it. Pluck up those thorns by the roots, God. Do whatever you got to do. But change me. Change me. Change me. In Jesus' name.